Next on BYUSN, Brian Santiago introduced as BYU's new athletic director yesterday. We react to some of the best sound bites from that news conference and our interview with Studio B. BYU football projected to win, wait for it, 7.5 games in 2025. Is that number too low? What should the number be?
ESPN's Trevor Maddich returns to discuss his expectations for Cougar football and where it stacks up in the Big 12. What are our favorite Cougar versus Cougar NFL matchups after the NFL schedule release?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, May 15th. I am Spencer Linton alongside budding video blogger Jerem Jordan.
That's the thing. AJ DeBonce is doing that quite a bit, and he had a day in the life produced the other day, and he took some of our advice. Here it is.
Decided to get Bam Bam's Barbecue, suggested by Spencer from BYU TV. When I went on my interview, he was like, you gotta go to Bam Bam's, right?
Bam Bam's Barbecue.
Is that where we need to go?
That's the spot.
Is a hot spot.
And he went and enjoyed it. So
he FaceTimed me. No kidding. While he was in the restaurant, he FaceTimed me and he's like, see this empty mac and cheese bowl? I like it. And nice. His dad had the pulled pork. AJ had the pulled pork. Ace had something else, but yeah, it worked out.
That's great.
It's got a day in the life, by the way. Really, really fun venture that BYU's social media team is putting together.
Yeah, I love it. It's a fun way to get to know people. We've seen ex-Xavion Staten and now AJ DeBonce. Pretty awesome. Robert Wright III, you're next.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is next? Maybe it's RW3.
Tyler Maruss.
One of those guys. All rise and shout. Let's get the rest training.
BYU's new athletic director, Brian Santiago.
It is indeed a very special day for Cougar Athletics.
Cougar Nation, there's never been a better time to be part of BYU Athletic. And everyone in Cougar Nation, just remember, we were born to win.
New Santiago sheriff in town. Yesterday, BYU Athletics introducing Brian Santiago as the new athletic director with the massive task of replacing the great Tom Holmoe, who announced his retirement back in February. So today we are going to play for you some of the best sound bites and react to those featured in yesterday's news conference. And then, of course, that includes our interview with Brian himself here in Studio B. In the news conference, Santiago spoke about a lesson he learned from President Henry B. Eyring about the importance of BYU being nationally relevant, but in the right way.
We were privileged to sit in a room with President Henry B. Eyring of the first presidency. At the time, Elder Eyring came and spoke to us and answered questions. And one of our coaches at the time asked him a very direct question, what's the expectation? And he responded with the word excellence. And this coach, wanting to press more, said, what does that mean? And he said, to be nationally relevant. And then he said this, and this is the key, and this is what the charge that we feel, and this is the charge going forward. He said, to be nationally relevant and do it the right way. Because if we are nationally relevant and we do it the right way, the world will want to know who we are. And we can tell the story through these remarkable student athletes.
Clear theme for Brian Santiago yesterday was to talk about the passion and the dedication that he has for the student athletes primarily. Like, he is fiercely loyal to the student athletes. He's always been that way, though.
It felt like a Bronco question, by the way. That's my guess as to who asked that question. Yeah, excellence is what it needs to be, right? And you need to comport yourself a certain way. But if you don't win, you can't let your light so shine, if you will, and let this be a beacon of goodness that brings people together. Obviously, you want to win, and you want to win the right way, and we come together, and BYU means a lot, but obviously there are things that are bigger than this, and this is bigger than sports, as he mentioned. So great first year, or second year in the Big 12, and last year was amazing. Really high note. Like, typically, you don't want to be the guy after the guy, Spence. But someone's got to fill those shoes, and Brian Santiago is tasked with continuing this. Now, he's not an outsider. He has been the number two here, so he knows what it took in all facets to get to this place. And so I think he's well-equipped with knowledge and experience to know what it took to do that and what it will take to continue that. Certainly, we're in a new era of NIL, transfer portal, yeah. revenue sharing is the next big thing, and so on and so forth. He's been in the middle of all these conversations as BYU's navigated this very successfully so far.
Yeah, it's tough to be a guy that replaces Tom Holmoe, but when you have been with Tom for 20 years, and we have seen long-tenured assistants be successful when they eventually take over. Like, I feel like it's more acclimating, or you're more accustomed to hold that level of success if you have been with somebody that's been doing it at high level for a long time rather than just like a fresh start.
Yeah. Heather Olmstead took over for Sean Olmstead. She's done a great job.
Yeah. So we have seen that at times and in different sports across the country.
Yeah.
Obviously, we hope that is the case for Brian. And clearly, the administration and the Board of Trustees believe that in terms of this wave of momentum that they don't want to disrupt very much, and they feel like he is a guy that brings stability that can continue the momentum.
He must be the guy, because if you interview over 50 candidates and search thousands of miles, and it was actually the guy whose office was next door, you must feel like that's the guy for sure. So they did their due diligence, and they said, hey, Brian's the guy. Let's go. Later in the press conference, Brian Santiago was asked about his vision for BYU in the Big 12, and he said this past year was a glimpse into BYU's future.
All of Cougar Nation got a glimpse of what the vision is for BYU athletics this past season. Kalani Sitake and our football team had a remarkable year. And then everybody saw Kevin Young come in to BYU and do something that nobody expected us to do and make, you know, our football and basketball programs, they lead the charge. But then you see our men's and women's cross-country teams go win national championships. You see all of our other sports competing at a national level. That's the vision.
Later, he was asked about the role of football, and he said nothing's bigger at BYU than football.
I'll read you the direct quote.
Yeah.
Football drives the ship. There is nothing more important at BYU than our football program. We have an exceptional head coach.
I thought it was landscaping national championships we've been putting up.
That matters, too. He continues, this is an exceptional human being, speaking of Coach Sitake, an exceptional leader, and the staff that he put around him is exceptional. That is driving the ship.
Yeah, and if that's not obvious, you know, he answered the question. He's got to answer the question, but it's super obvious, right? I guess there are those that maybe have questions relative to Brian's integral part of men's basketball influence and, like, what influence he's had on football. He's had influence on football. He's not just completely uninvolved in football. He's the deputy athletic director. He's been heavily involved in that, right? But he's been charged with men's hoops primarily, but now he oversees all of it, right?
Yes.
I liked that glimpse. And there is a level to even go up, which I don't think we've imagined at BYU. Oh, I know they won the national championship in 1984, but in the modern era, BYU's not touched like the college football playoff expansion now, which BYU was close last year. They've never been to a Final Four. These are the next steps, and BYU is equipped with teams, coaches, financial backing, athletic administration support from Salt Lake and so on and so forth, to the point that it feels like those could both happen this next year. That's so exciting. And will it take a minute if it doesn't next year? Maybe. But I think you have the right people in place. I really do. I think you have the right coaches at the right time to take that next step for BYU athletics in those two sports.
Brian was integral in bringing in Kevin Young, and he has a great relationship with some high-level coaches. Like, he's very, very involved in that regard. I also appreciated that he answered some tough questions in those breakout groups. Frankly, one of them was, what would you say to people that aren't happy about you being hired? And I thought he took it head on. Like, those are tough questions to answer. And to his credit, I thought he handled it with a lot of dignity and class, because that's not a fun question to answer. Spencer, how do you feel about hosting a show when everybody hates you? You know, or like, they don't,
how is
they,
it, Spencer?
They don't want you to host a show. They think you're a poser on TV.
No one hates you from fan bases that we respect. And let's be honest. You know, there are those who have questioned the hire. We have talked about on this program what we feel like is reasons for the hire. And Brian proceeds independent of what anyone thinks. He charges forward and up and at him. We go forward. Vamos, as he said.
Vamos, Cougs.
Like, whatever sort of other conversation there is relative to this, it doesn't matter. He's the athletic director, and we're charging forward. That's the direction we're going. I don't really care to look back. Saul's wife did, I guess, but I don't. Like, let's keep moving forward. Let's go.
No pillars of salt.
No pillars of salt.
Santiago joined us in Studio B after that news conference, and we asked him specifically what it means to him to rep BYU. Here's a portion of that answer.
Focusing not only on, like, the individual, but on the spiritual. Like, you get both. Like, you get both. And that's what's happening. And if we can do all that and, like, instill dreams in the younger generation to wear that why, to put BYU on our chest, let's go. It means more. And everybody knows why it means more, right? We're invested in something way bigger. And that's what gets me excited. That's what gets my juices flowing. Because when we win and do it the right way, it inspires dreams in this next generation. And they want to be part of BYU.
Clearly, it's bigger than just sport. Yeah. We've known this for a long time.
Absolutely.
But I love that he was inclusive of all the sports, too. And he spent a good deal of time in the news conference talking about how important women's sports are.
I liked that because when revenue sharing comes out, a large portion of that at many schools, including BYU, is going to go to football and men's basketball. The fear for me and you, as people who have called the majority of the Olympic sports, is please continue to have all these sports, right? You know, 20-something years ago, a couple sports were cut here, wrestling and men's gymnastics. I appreciated that conversation because it made me confident that, hey, we're going to continue with a lot of these sports that we love. Grand Canyon just killed men's volleyball. I'm not striking up any fear or rumors here. I'm just saying I appreciate that he values the entire athletic department because this show and this channel and this athletic department and this new AD do too. They appreciate the experience of BYU fans that is more than just football and men's basketball. I think you, Cougar Nation, appreciate and love all these teams. We celebrate men's golf and what they did today from yesterday in an amazing way. We're excited about the direction of women's basketball. We're hoping baseball takes out Texas Tech to get to the Big 12 tournament. It's not just about football and men's basketball. It is much bigger.
That's why we have so much invested into covering the stories outside of the sport in our Deep Blue specials and beyond. For other schools, for crying out
frankly,
loud.
Frankly, we care about other schools.
Yes, that will not change.
Yeah.
Brian centering on that as well.
And I agree with covering all but one school in this league.
I understand your trepidation specifically with Tom leaving as a quote-unquote football guy because he was the football coach and he was a player and a Super Bowl champion multiple times. And Brian comes in, he's a former basketball player. Yeah. But I love that he doubled down and said, no, this is a football school. Football drives the show.
It's almost weird to me that I know he was asked, so he answers the question, but it's almost weird that it needs to be said out loud. It's like, are you serious? Of course football runs the show here. Come on.
Yeah, interesting. Well, at the end of the interview, we gave Brian the floor to share a message to Cougar Nation, and this was that message.
There's never been a better time to be part of Brigham Young University and BYU athletics than right now. In this ever-changing landscape of college athletics, the idea that we can compete at the very highest level and do it the right way is inspiring for all of us. We need you. We need your family. We need your friends. We need everybody to go all in because we're all in. Every single one of us in this athletic department is united in carrying out the mission of this great institution. And while we're doing it, not only are we going to do it with enthusiasm, we're going to find joy in the journey. These are the greatest times of life. It's the greatest time to be alive. And everyone in Cougar Nation, just remember, we were born to win. Let's go.
Let's go. I love it.
Born to win. I thought he handled the camera situation very well. Yeah, seasoned pro, just staring into the hearts of the cold glass eye.
Right? Most of my life, I felt like I was born to lose. So this is breaking news to me, personally. But being associated with BYU, a lot of wins. Yeah, if it's me leading the charge, no, we're going to lose. It's bigger than any individual, which is exciting. Okay, BYU baseball hosts Texas Tech tonight. Game one of a three-game series. Cougars trying to make that 12-team Big 12 tournament. They are in 13th or in a tie for 12th at the moment. They've got to have a great series. They've got to one-up UCF and Utah.
Yes. They just have to finish with a better record than UCF and Utah because they'd lose the tiebreaker in both regards. They'd probably have to win two or three.
Big series. 8 Eastern tonight, ESPN+, BYU Radio.
Up next, BYU football is projected to win how many games? We'll tell you the number.
Not enough.
And I'm guessing you already know we think it's too low. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Underrated again.
BYU will be one of my contenders.
He feels like they're the most underrated team in college football.
The receiving corps is fantastic. The linebacking corps will be one of the best in the nation.
Stay hungry.
Stay hungry. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. How about this? Yesterday, friend of the program, Brett McMurphy, posting the following as far as Big 12 over-under win totals go, courtesy of Circa Sports. And how about this? Oh, my goodness. BYU football comes in projected to win just 7.5 games.
Circa as in circus, as in clowns? Is that what you're telling me?
This is, I don't feel quite the way I do about the 4.5
no.
that was put out there last year.
4.5 was.
But 7.5 and below, a full game below Arizona State, Kansas State, and Texas Tech.
Well, no one's going to start at 9? That's interesting.
All right, yeah. Let's ask the question. Jerem, yeah. What do you think the number should be if it's not 7.5?
I would have 8.5. I would put BYU in the echelon of Arizona State, Kansas State, Texas Tech. I would put them up one more game.
What about BYU schedule says, yeah, they could, they're probably going to lose 5 games. Or like
I can see where you look at and you go, hey, lost a lot of weapons. Lost 2 of your top 3 receivers, and you lost a middle linebacker and a starting safety and the whole defensive line. But you look and you say, hey, Tanuvasa and Kirkland coming in, Gentry coming in from Michigan. A lot of depth there. Really good defense that didn't rely on one or two guys. Offensively, the leading rusher and quarterback and receiver are back. So
you got a nice tight end.
There's a lot of positivity. Unproven tight ends, largely. I'm excited to see what they can do. But it's okay. Like, what do we want them to say? 10.5, and we go, oh no, BYU's overrated. Like, maybe one more game, 8.5, and then we're appeased, I guess.
Yeah. The initial reaction is, what? It's too low.
Honestly, at first, I thought it was the Big 12 specifically.
Like, out of 9
games? Out of 9 games, I was like, oh, 7.5. I thought that was what it was.
Total. BYU will be a heavy favorite in their 3 non-conference games.
Yeah.
As they should. 2 at home, Portland State, Stanford, and then on the road at East Carolina.
Look forward to the Bachmeier revenge game.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we go. But if you go 3-0 in non-conference, you're telling me the over-under for BYU in Big 12 play is 4.5 wins? Now we're back to the 4.5!
Back to 4.5. Oh, put it in the locker room. They don't believe in us here.
They're going to win 50% of their Big 12 games.
Can you imagine how disappointing 4-5 would be, though?
It would be significantly disappointing.
Oh, devastating. Given the momentum of last year's team?
But once again,
we talked about it last week. 9-3 minimum. Ratings.
Yes,
minimum.
Wait, 8-4
to be
is like
successful,
right? He's saying that 7.5, or not Brett, but these folks saying 7.5, like it's either 7-5 or 8-4.
Give me the over.
What?
Give me the over. Who? Okay. Now that we look at sort of BYU in that second tier at 7.5, shouldn't BYU be on the first tier there of 8.5 with Arizona State, Kansas State, Texas Tech? Why do you feel like they're not?
That's a great question. I'm trying to figure it out.
Is there a justification given what BYU lost last year?
If BYU has one of the easiest Power 4 schedules in the entire country.
Josh Pate is saying this.
Why 7.5? And apparently, I'm trying to remember the publication that put it out, but FB Schedules also put out a report that insinuated that BYU has maybe the easiest Power 4 schedule. It's not just Josh Pate anymore. Now there are multiple people
saying this.
Their
opinion or like fact, like opponent win percentage from last year or something. Every year is different. We can calculate based on what we know now. We'll walk into the season, things will adjust, things will change. Hopefully BYU is even better than we think. You know, there is a chance they're not as good as we think, but that's why we play the games. And 7.5 is too low.
I'm taking this. Just go ahead and screen grab this huge graphic and just send it to the entire BYU football team. This is what they think
give them reasons.
Yeah. This is what they think you are right now.
Yeah.
Just like the 4.5 got brought up several times. I did it on purpose.
ASU, to me, continues to get a crazy amount of love. I know Sam Levitt, Jordan Tyson, good defense.
I'd like to see that team actually be good when everyone says they're going to be good.
Many are saying this about BYU, Spencer, too. Let's acknowledge that. ASU, without Cam Scataboo, is not as good as the ASU team last year. Like, I don't see how they're going to be equal to or better. I just don't get it. I understand the love for Kansas State. They're perennially kind of that 8-9 win team. Are they going to take the next step with Avery Johnson as a junior? DJ Giddens is gone. He ran for like 1,300 yards. He out.
Yeah, yep.
Jace Brown's back as their leading receiver. Texas Tech, I get why they would be pumped up. They have one of the best transfer portal classes. They put 30 or 40 mil into the roster.
They have talent all over the roster, but how quickly can that gel?
I don't believe that it's just going to poof work.
It doesn't work that way in football. Basketball, it's easier to do it.
Yes. And not everybody does. Just because Kentucky did it last year and 2 years before that, Kansas State, how many other teams did it and it didn't work, right? We're not talking about them. We're just talking about the ones that happen to work. It is difficult to congeal in that way quickly.
Well, Baylor is one of those teams that had talent all over their roster last year. There were a bunch of new parts and it didn't work out, really.
8-5, which is a good season. It's just not contending for a big
time. And Baylor basketball, for that matter, went out and got a bunch of talent.
Well, and they returned some dudes, but they had injuries. And this year, they're going to have to replace literally everybody.
Crazy.
On the team. BYU not helping there either.
Ultimately, I love this. 7.5 wins. Like, tell everybody in that BYU football locker room that the Cougs are projected to go 7-5 or 8-4.
What would it be? Because this continues to be the note we strike, right? Just no one believes. Ding, ding, ding. Look at this thing. What's the number that would be like perfect? Like 8.5 still might be low.
I think
four is sort of internally in the locker room, them going, what? What does it need to be? 10.5 for them to go, now we're talking.
Sure. We scream like parity is the operative word for the Big 12 in football.
Which to me is good and bad. Let me tell you the good. The good is it's wide open, it's fun, BYU's got a chance at it. The bad is, well, you'll be a one-bid league if this is how you do it. Because you need a team every year, Spence, to walk in, get super amount of respect, be overrated in the polls, lose two games and get an at-large. There's not that team. Oklahoma was that team where they were awesome in this league.
Or Texas.
For a long time. No. Texas was not.
I joke.
Texas thought they were. They were not. The last couple years, Texas has been legit. But there's not a team like that. So I'm hoping BYU becomes that team in the next 5 years where they are preseason top 25 all the time, getting respect. Because last year, BYU starts unranked. And then they go up, right? If BYU has the season last year that they had this year with this starting point, they would get an at-large, in my opinion. The starting point matters.
Yes, pole position.
Pole position.
You want to win the Indy 500 this weekend?
I was at the Speedway on Monday, and pole position matters.
You tell me.
Kiss the bricks.
Does it matter if you start 43rd or 8th? Who has the advantage?
You have more leverage, obviously, to sort of climb and fall and climb and be close, right? So let's see what BYU can do this year. They got to handle success well. This team, I feel like, is motivated in a great way. But I also am weary, I don't know which one it is, of when we walk in super stoked and pumped on that season, does BYU deliver? They need to start delivering. We did this in 22. It didn't happen. I'm not saying it's going to just automatically not be or be something. This team's got to handle success well, and I think they're equipped to do so in a way that they haven't been before because they did it in a Power 4 league.
Jerem, if BYU starts 4-0, they'll be a top 10 team 4 weeks into the season.
Totally.
Where they start, we think somewhere between 15 and 19.
Shouldn't they be?
Yeah.
It's Colorado, right, in game four?
You're 4-0, you'll be a top 10 team going into October.
Now we're talking. Let's go.
That is where pole position and perception really matters.
Then you have space to lose and climb and whatnot.
It all starts with Portland State in exactly how many days?
Countdown to the Vikings.
107.
It's a weird one.
107 days. So that means week zero is exactly 100 days away.
Syllables almost got us there.
I know.
Full disclosure, we talk about it before. Like, are we saying 107? 107. What are we saying? 107. Got to figure it out.
A lot of times we just get into it, we're like, oh, we didn't talk about it.
Or
just figure it out.
Or we have Dave or Brian Logan on, and they don't sing with us. Participate.
Last time I was a chef, my voice gave out, and he did his first solo ever. He didn't like that.
Neither did the audience.
I was like, you made me do a solo. Our question of the day. BYU football projected to win 7.5 games, according to Circus Sports.
All right.
What is your reaction to that number? You've heard ours. At Jason, is it Suture?
Suture.
On X says, 2 weeks ago, BYU was picked preseason top 10 by major sports outlets.
Yeah.
Today, someone else is projecting 7.5 wins for a projected top 10 team.
Well, that's the variance, right? That's, I mean, what's the low?
It was Mark Schlabaugh that had BYU at number 10 in his preseason.
That's the high.
Most have BYU between 16 and 23.
Yeah, we saw three out with 14, a week or two ago. So, in the end, it's all fun fodder. We got to talk about something. It's great because we got to talk about
something. Listen, we're at 9-3. We're at 9-3.
On the minimum threshold of success.
Yes.
Yes. Official regular season prediction?
8.5?
I'm not quite there.
8.5?
Well, setting lines is different than what you think they will win.
Okay. Are you 8 wins? Are you 8 wins guy right now?
Of what? What I think they will do?
Yeah.
In the regular season? 8-4?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm probably 9-3. I'm obviously, we're hoping for 10-2. That puts you in a position to perhaps go to the Big 12 title game.
Yes.
Whatever.
We can talk about it later in the summer.
May 15th.
Think about it. Ponder on it.
Who cares?
Ponderize it. And
ponderize
we'll talk
it.
About it.
Thank
17
you, Durant.
Other times during the summer.
That few?
Maybe more. At JFloyd314 on X says, I think I would care a lot more if some team were projected at 9.5 or something, but this is pretty much in line with where the whole conference is projected.
I don't think the parity is good, though, for college football playoff spots.
It's not a reflection on BYU's perceived talent so much as it is an indicator of how crazy the Big 12
is. That's a great point. Yeah, yeah. We know that it's tough, and it's not like BYU's walking in and should just roll fools. It's like, well, yes, but you have to play some good ball to go 7-2.
We need to go through the schedule at some point, and we will do this game by game.
I don't know if we have time.
And discuss, like, win, sure win, nope, that's probably loss, and then the toss-up.
Let's do it now. Let's throw it on the board. Nope.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
How much can Yegor Demin change the narrative of his shooting in the pre-draft process? Feels like we're feeling some of that.
Well, let me read something to you recently from Jonathan Givony, NBA insider who's at the Combine, at Draft Express. He said,
moments ago.
This happened 14 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Big week for BYU guard Yegor Demin at the NBA Draft Combine. Came out bigger than expected at 6'9.5" in shoes and showed off his clean shooting stroke in drills, getting strong looks from NBA teams throughout the lottery specifically. Those 14 lottery teams.
I like that.
Now let's look at some of the numbers that he put up at the Combine. Off the dribble, Yegor shooting 14 of 30, 47%. His spot-up shooting was 17 of 25. That's almost 70%. The three-point star drill, he went 14 of 25 overall. Very good number for him, 56%. And the three-point sideline-to-sideline drill, 17 of 28. He told us he was going to do this.
Yeah.
And he was already projected as a bad shooter to go somewhere probably between 14 and 18.
And when we say bad, we're just saying from three, he was 27%,
yes,
right? That was not a good number.
How much can he change the narrative? We just saw it. I think he is a lottery pick now, straight up.
Okay, where's he going? So let's start at 14 going down. San Antonio at 14?
I like that. I like that position a lot for him.
That'd be fun. They're interesting.
Yes.
Atlanta at 13, Chicago at 12.
I like Chicago at 12 a lot too.
Portland at 11?
Yeah.
Houston at 10.
As high as it would ever go.
Houston would be interesting because they're an intriguing team. Yeah, they got some good young talent. I think.
Yes.
I think that'd be like, is he the backup to Fred Van Vliet there? That'd be interesting.
Houston, Chicago at 10 and 12, respectively. I think there's real weight there now. 14 to San Antonio would be fun, the final lottery pick. If he dropped out of the lottery and went to Oklahoma City.
15
oh
to the
my
Thunder!
Gosh,
I think
that would be amazing.
I don't care about the lottery thing per se, like fit. I think he would be hopefully a better Josh Giddey, like with a jumper.
Ooh, because he showed he could shoot.
Yes, yes.
Showed he could shoot.
Yeah.
Now I think it's at 10 to 15, 15 at worst now.
How fun is it to actually have a dude that's going to be picked in the first round?
In the lottery, maybe.
Right? And then next year, we're hoping for a number one pick.
Three lottery picks all time in the history of BYU basketball. Three.
That's it.
Lottery picks.
Modern?
Sean Bradley, Hafa Araujo.
Oh, since 85?
Since 85.
Yeah, I was going to say Mel Hutchins was number two.
That's when the lottery started, in 85.
Gotcha.
Okay? And then, of course, Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah.
Three.
Well.
Since 85.
One of those sustained a long career, and that's the hope for Yeager. Yeah. Mm. I'm saying in the NBA. Obviously, yeah. Jimmer was super successful elsewhere, too.
Fourth lottery pick. Only seven first-round draft picks total for BYU basketball.
That's about to change. That's about to change quite a bit.
Back-to-back years.
If you miss any of your shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app.
After the break, which elite BYU team are now NCAA regional champions after working their own perceived huge upset? Was it an upset? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We are live in Studio B. This is BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Thursday headlines.
Yesterday, Brian Santiago introduced as BYU's new athletic director. He takes over for Tom Hummel, who announced his retirement in February of this year. Santiago has worked in the BYU athletic department since the late 90s, been BYU's deputy athletic director since 2017.
BYU football projected to win 7.5 games in 2025. That, according to Circa Sports. Highest Big 12 teams, 8.5 wins. A lot of parity. BYU, one of five teams, in fact, projected to win that 7.5 mark, along with Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, and Utah. Teams above them are Arizona State, Texas Tech, and Kansas State, at the aforementioned 8.5 wins projected.
The NFL schedule release was yesterday. Some notable Cougar versus Cougar matchups. Fred Warner and the Niners at Taysom Hill and the Saints in week two. Kyle Van Noy, the Ravens at Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamati and the Chiefs in week four. Fred Warner and the Niners play Puka Nacua and the Rams in week 5 and 10. And Puka Nacua's Rams at Tyler Algier's Falcons in week 17.
Give it up for BYU men's golf.
Oh, baby.
This NCAA regional champions.
One of the performances of the year for a team.
Dominated in Reno, shooting 15 under par as a team in the three-round event. Keep in mind, high winds postponed round one. They only got through seven holes the first day. They had to play almost two full rounds the second day and crushed it. With the victory, BYU advances to the NCAA National Championship for a 33rd time in program history. Cougars held off number 4 Texas, number 9 Virginia in the final round to win by 4 strokes.
BYU, did you just say 33 times they've been to the National?
33 times.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Cougs are ranked number 33, I believe. Yeah, speaking of 33.
Well, that's the number.
Cole Ponich led the way for BYU, took second overall, shooting 7 under par. Peter Kim finished tied for 5th at 5 under, while Zach Jones finished tied for 11th at 1 under. The National Championship held May 23rd through 28th in Carlsbad, California.
Love it. Baseball hosts Texas Tech. Game 1 tonight of a 3-game series at Miller Park to close out the regular season. They need to win one more game this weekend.
Yep.
Then UCF or Utah. And is it and Utah or one of the two?
And. They have to have a better record than both of those teams.
Probably need, win all three, you got a good shot, right? Tonight's game starts at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN Plus. Every out. It's like playoff baseball tonight.
It's a playoff to get into the Big 12 playoff.
Yep.
You would think at least win 2 of 3.
Yes.
Men's and women's track and field begin competition at the Big 12 Championships today in Lawrence, Kansas. BYU's number 5 ranked women's team and number 7 ranked men's team compete today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Both BYU teams finished as runner-ups or runners-up.
Books of Mormon or Book of Mormons?
Runners-up. Runner-ups.
What is it grammatically?
Runners-up.
Runners-uppers.
At the 2024 Outdoor Championships and the 2025 Indoor Championships. It's runners-up.
Runners-up.
Yes.
That makes sense. And Daniels Schneemans went 1 for 4 with a single and a run scored while getting to start at third base for the Guardians in a 9-5 loss to the Brewers.
We love the Daniels.
All of them. Mr. Schneebly.
Up next, it's a Maddich Thursday. How about that for a change of pace? ESPN's Trevor Maddich joins the show. Jerem goes 1-on-1 and wins that battle, right?
No, dude, he dominates me.
Do you think BYU is going to win more than 7.5 games? Stay with us.
Can't get around it.
We're going to win.
It is intercepted!
They're still very underrated.
You know, why can't the sky be the limit for BYU this year?
Touchdown! Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. This morning I spoke with ESPN's Trevor Maddich about what we've been talking about, which is 7.5 wins. What's up with that? Here's my convo with Trevor. Trevor, great to have you back on the program. It's like you never left, yet it's May now. So welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's like the football season ends, but it doesn't really, does it?
It doesn't.
Because you've got football season, playoff and bowl season, recruiting, spring, and then fall camp. And so football season is year-round, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
I love it. Okay, BYU projected by one source out of Las Vegas to have its over-under at 7.5 wins. Last year it was 4.5. It was super low. 7.5. How are you feeling about that number?
I think people think it's low because they won 11 last year. But I think it's kind of fair as a starting point based on the schedule and all the things that they've got to do. I mean, BYU has, you know, they have to replace three starting offensive linemen, pretty much their entire defensive line. And in the Power Four, you better be strong and deep and playing well together on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Now, they've got talented guys in there. They've got some very promising transfers in on both sides of the line. But I think as prognosticators look at it, they'll look at other teams in the Big 12 that have a lot more returning production at the line of scrimmage, and they'll put BYU at about 7.5. I think BYU, I would put it more like 8.5 to 9, and then they could go more than that. Because I think the skill position should be absolutely dominant. But I think 7.5 right now, I wouldn't get mad at the prognosticators. I would see that as an opportunity to exceed expectations.
Absolutely. And it's one metric. It's one line. But as we saw last year, BYU certainly uses that to its motivational advantage. So you mentioned, hey, 8.5, maybe 9. What's a regular season expectation for you at this point, knowing what we know about the roster? And, of course, the season will play out, and sometimes it's different than we think. But given what we know about what BYU brings back and year three in the Big 12, what are you expecting in the regular season in terms of record from BYU?
Jerem, I expect BYU to compete for the conference championship game again. And this year, as long as both sides of the line of scrimmage come together relatively early in the season, they've got a good chance to do that. I mean, it's a deep conference, the Big 12, just like it was last year. And it's hard to pick any front runner. But at the same time, I expect BYU to be better this year than they were last year overall. Part of the reason is that Jake Retzlaff at quarterback coming back has a ton of fantastic weapons. His wide receiver core is got to be one of the best in the Big 12. You know, L.J. Martin coming back at running back should be fantastic as long as he stays healthy. I think the offensive line, even though they're replacing multiple starters, they've got talented guys to plug into those spots. And I expect the offensive line to start out just fine and then progress to be a very good offensive line. And so just because of that alone, I think you'll see more plays made by the offense, even though they made a lot of them last year, and fewer mistakes made by the offense, which hurt them down the stretch of the season. And I think BYU this year, fans should look at this team, and as well as they played last year, they should see this team play even more tight is the word that comes up, wired tight, especially on offense, especially when it comes to protecting the ball against the better defenses.
So how do we quantify BYU being better than last year? Because 11-2 was pretty good. Are you saying if they're better, they make the Big 12 title game?
I think if they're better, they make the Big 12 title game. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's just a matter of how many wins you have. Once again, this is a really tough Big 12, but it's not just for BYU. It's tough for everybody. And so one bounce of the ball either way could make the difference between who's in the title game and who isn't, which is what happened to BYU down the stretch with a couple of plays that turned into turnovers and things just didn't work out. And they ended up, one or two plays away BYU was last year from making the title game. But that isn't just BYU that faces a lot of quality opponents. It's everybody. And BYU could win 9 games, 10 games certainly, but they could win 9 and still make it to the conference championship game, depending on what happens in the rest of the conference. So I wouldn't get too hung up on they've got to meet or exceed 11 wins. It would be great if they did. And I'm not saying that they won't, but I am saying that as fans look at this team, you want to look at the way they play. You want to look at their depth. You want to look at avoiding mistakes. and you want to look at forcing mistakes on the other side. And they did a lot of that last year. It's one of the reasons they got to 11 wins. But there's room for improvement, and those improvements are the things we should be looking for next year.
ESPN's Trevor Manich is on BYU Sports Nation. Parity is often discussed as a great thing. I think, generally speaking, when you talk about BYU's chances to get to the Big 12 title game and or win, hey, that's great. But when it comes to the playoff, Trevor, to me it's not, because you're probably a one-bid league if there's too much parity. Does there need to be a team, maybe it's BYU in the next 5 years, that steps up to be what Oklahoma was in this league and what Texas tried to be in terms of dominating, being there every year? Because then it feels like you get two bids in, unless the SEC and the Big Ten say, well, we're doing this new format, and you always get to win.
Right. That would be great for the Big 12. I mean, financially, it would be fantastic. And because they're already behind, so is the ACC, the Big Ten and the SEC in terms of money. And money is important, especially as more funds from football revenue are now going to be going to athletes, rather than just all staying within the program and having NIL be the only money that goes to athletes. And so the cash flow is important. And when you put extra teams in the playoff, your cash flow improves both as a program, but also from the entire conference. And that's important. But I think that from a standpoint of getting two teams in, they almost did it last year. And I think had BYU won one more game, there was a chance that they could have gotten an extra team in, whether that was BYU or whether that was whoever they bounced out of the championship game. But as far as a team in the Big 12 rising up to become like an Oklahoma, like a Texas, the dominant team in the conference, they need that so that they get national cachet. That's important for the conference. You don't just want to be a conference that has a lot of very good teams, but no outstanding team. You want to have somebody every year competing for a national championship. That helps with recruiting, it helps with transfers, it helps with exposure in every way, it helps with NIL in every way, because when you're competing for a playoff spot, that's important. When you're competing consistently for a national championship, everything else comes to you in greater numbers, especially money, and money is the fuel that runs college sports.
Arizona State, Kansas State, Texas Tech, all expected to be at 8.5 wins plus. Then it's Baylor, BYU, Iowa State, Kansas, Utah, all at 7.5. Arizona State's getting a lot of love, in fact, a little too much for my liking, given that Cam Scataboo's gone. I know that Sam Levitt is a good quarterback. They're back. K-State, the idea of K-State's consistency is there. They feel like an 8 or 9-win team almost every year. Texas Tech put a lot of money into that program. They got a lot of great transfers. They're expected to be in the top three there. Why isn't BYU in the mix there, given what they did last year and who they return?
Because of all the people they've got to replace along the lines of scrimmage. I mean, remember what happened to BYU 2 years ago, their first year in the conference. I mean, they were 5-2 to start. Then they had a bunch of injuries on the defensive line, defensive front especially, but also other places, combined with a really brutal closing five games of the regular season, and they ended up losing 5 in a row, and because they couldn't stop anybody on the ground. That was a big part of it. And so I think, these prognosticators will look at BYU and think, okay, they look at returning production. And so those teams you mentioned, Arizona State returned 16 starters, including 10 starters on defense. One of the best run defenses and scoring defenses in the Big 12 last year was Arizona State. Sam Levitt, their quarterback, and Jordan Tyson, their top receiver, are both back. Those guys are expected to be first or second round draft choices next year if they both come out. You've got Iowa State, which is one of the nation's leader in returning production, including Rocco Becht, their quarterback. You've got Texas Tech, you mentioned. They're second in the nation in ranking of their transfer portal class. They went all in like Ohio State did last year, like Texas did this year, to bring in a transfer class to win this year right now. And it's ranked second in the nation. And so how will they put that together? These are reasons that I think people that make these sorts of predictions will look at returning production. They'll look at number and quality of transfers and things like that. And it's not that they downgrade BYU. I think it's they have a lot of respect for the returning production of these other teams. And BYU's transfer class is, I think, fantastic. I think it's phenomenal at key positions for them. You know, Andrew Gentry at offensive line, Justin Kirkland and Keanu Tanuvasa on the defensive line. Critical pieces, both transfers. And you've got Carson Ryan, transfer tight end out of Utah. These are critical transfers, highly ranked transfers, but there's just not a whole lot of transfers. So I think those people who make these kinds of predictions add into it the numbers that come in, and they come up with these preseason predictions. And so I wouldn't worry too much about it. Once again, if I'm a BYU fan, those other teams are going to be really good teams and hard to beat. But guess what? BYU is going to be a really good team and hard to beat as well.
Brian Santiago is the new athletic director. He takes over for your old teammate, Tom Homo, who did a tremendous job at BYU. What can you say about Tom and kind of his journey from when you first met him as a player to what he has accomplished as the Cougars, in my opinion, greatest athletic director ever?
Yeah, he's one of the greatest directors, athletic directors of his generation, and he is seen that way by athletic directors and administrators all around the country. I mean, he shepherded the football program from Mountain West to independent to Power Four. And getting from independent to Power Four, as we all know, was a bit of an uphill climb, but he got it done, and he got the program there in a position to where in the second year they were able to be in competition for the conference championship game right to the end of the season. And so it didn't just get him into the conference. He got him into the conference in good standing so that their second year they can have a lot of success. But it's not just that. Tom also had tremendous success with all the other sports, the Olympic sports and basketball and, you know, women's basketball. The women's sports have been dominant for BYU for a long time in general. And Tom Homo has been, you know, the guy shepherding that. But also, you know, now we have Director Santiago, who has been one of the key factors in a lot of those Olympic sports and overseeing those for the last, you know, many, many years under Tom Homo. So I think Tom has to be considered one of the best that has done it in his generation, but he is considered. I don't think he's an unsung hero. I think his praises are sung loudly and well, and he deserves every bit of it.
And they will be for a long time in Provo. Trevor, of course, we always appreciate the time. Fun to catch up. Best of luck. Hopefully you enjoy some barbecue and some good hangouts this summer. We'll talk to you soon enough.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. Thank you.
A managed Thursday. Let's go. What's your reaction to BYU football being projected to win 7.5 games this season? More responses to our question of the day after the break on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Question of the day, BYU football projected to win 7.5 games. What's your reaction to that number? At Alice Placido, or is it Alice Placido? On X says,
I think you're right. Alice Placido, we're chill.
Okay.
Placid.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They say, I think winning 7.5 games is impossible.
Well played. Somehow that's not the elite voice. Yeah.
At Jared Law on X says, yeah, that's pretty low. The 7.5 win projection is an absolute insult and should be locker room material. I'm printing my 7.5 t-shirt.
What'd you do with the other one?
I'll bring it back. I'm going to wear it. Four and a half wins. It's a thing forever.
4.5 in league?
Four and a half wins.
Just add in league.
Yes. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. From at BYU Forever on X says,
Stephen A. Smith?
I love it. Keep understanding this team.
Underestimate.
It's such a slap in the face. More billboard material for these dudes.
Yeah.
Should I read it as Stephen A?
Yeah.
Keep underestimating this team. It's a slap in the face. Today's Rise and Shout House presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Men's golf did an incredible thing yesterday. They won the regional. They upset two top 10 teams, 15 under. They're headed to nationals for the 33rd time. Cole Ponich, second place,
amazing,
7 under. Shot a 67 in the final round. These dudes show up when it matters. Like, men's golf might be the most clutch team on campus over the last 10 years. Maybe the last 40 years. They've been amazing.
In the words of Stephen A., they deserve more respect at Brigham Young University.
Brigham Young University.
Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Somewhere AJ's saying, why can't we play Duke? Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Jason Walker. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Cougs and go Yegor tonight at the Combine. Mm-hmm.